Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD's ongoing, endless 2019-2020 preview shows. This is our SEC preview. I'm your host, yeah. Chad Sherwood, joined by John Slica, John Titel, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, and David, you want to say something?
Oh, yes, because we have a lot to get to. Look at this. Look at what happened. We were on the air for the next 414 days, counting it down to the resumption of the border war.
I'm out of here.
You're hot, Chad.
Yes. Breaking news. Kansas and Missouri will be playing again.
Yes, they will.
Beginning next season. David isn't even going to bother watching this season, as he's just going to be waiting for that game to come back. But this is our SEC preview, which means we will be discussing Missouri, but not at the top of the show, I doubt.
Maybe John not Titel, even at the end of the show.
John Titel, let me let you start things off for us here and ask the question that we probably already all know the answer to, but who do you feel is going to be the best team in the SEC this season?
I think that it is Kentucky. I don't think they're going to win the SEC by four games or anything. But once again, Coach Calipari has brought in a ton of talent. Tyrese Maxey and Khalil Whitney to join other past McDonald's All-Americans like Emmanuel Quickly, EJ Montgomery, Nick Richards. Even though they lost a ton of guys to the NBA, they bring back a ton of guys. And I think that once they all mature, if they can all get on the same page, this is a – I don't think they're going to win it all, but I think this is a legit Final Four caliber roster.
Rocco, let me ask you, is this just kind of like the same old for Calipari, bringing a ton of great recruits? I think I said number one or number two recruiting class of the nation. On the other hand, no championship, right, recently? I don't know.
Yeah, I certainly could see that play out that way. I think one of the common denominators a lot of national champions have had in the last two decades is a strong point guard, experienced point guard at that. And that's what Kentucky has this year for the first time in a while. Higgins is now a sophomore, decided to come back to school, and it's a really nice mix for him because guys like EJ Montgomery's been there a year, Nick Richards been there 2 years, and Titel did a great job listing off all the phenoms coming in. They also brought in Nate Sestina from Bucknell, which might have been an afterthought coming from the Patriot League, but they had the blue-white scrimmage just recently, and Sestina was the player of the game, and Calipari was the highest on him. Who knows how much of that is hype, but he put up 22 points, I think 15 rebounds in their blue-white game. So I think there's a lot of good balance across the board, and with that sophomore point guard, Higgins leading the charge, there's a lot to be excited about for Kentucky.
Yeah, a sophomore leading the charge, not a freshman at Kentucky. But Stalika, how about this team? Are you on board with them winning the SEC also?
I think it's going to be a coin flip between them and Florida possibly winning the title. I mean, Kentucky's going to have a strong opening to the season against Michigan State, so it'll be the second year in a row where they'll be likely going up against the consensus number one team. But beyond that, they're probably not going to be too many landmines in the way until they get Ohio State and the CBS Sports Classic out in Vegas, their annual rivalry with Louisville, and they also have a trip to Texas Tech coming up in January as part of the SEC and Big 12 Challenge.
David, he mentioned Mike White's team down there in Florida, who nailed what I at least think is the number one grad transfer in the nation in Blackshear from Va Tech. I mean, was that the signing coup of the season here? And does that make this into a Final Four caliber Florida team?
Potentially. Mike White, you know, he's done really well at Florida, kind of an underrated job, kind of underrated before Florida with how well he did at Louisiana Tech. And I think that it's the most talented team he's had since he's been there. And, you know, and he's had some pretty good teams before this. I don't know if I like them as much as Kentucky. In fact, I'm certain that I don't like them as much as Kentucky. But, yeah, I think that they're a top 10 caliber team. I think, and if you're in the top 10, you're a Final Four contender.
Rocco, would you agree with that? Top 10 nation?
Yeah. I would. I mean, yeah, it's a really nice makeup. I mean, they got three super sophomores returning on top of, you know, the Blackshear edition with Nembhard leading the charge. That guy makes a lot of great decisions, high basketball IQ, along with Noah Locke and Keontae Johnson. And not to mention, they plug in at the three spot Scotty Lewis. If, you know, I know Titel follows the McDonald's guys really closely. This guy might have been the most impressive out of the whole class of 2019. So, I expect this team to be pretty darn good. I guess if I had to play devil's advocate, my biggest concern is, can Mike White take that next leap as a coach and get his team into the second and maybe even the third weekend? We haven't seen that from him yet. So, but he definitely has the cast of characters to do it.
Also keep in mind, this was a team that was looking kind of NIT-ish for the most part of last season, but they ended up finishing 9-9 in the SEC. They actually made it to the SEC tournament semifinals before losing to Auburn, but they did knock out Nevada in the first round of the NCAA tournament. So definitely going to be some momentum in the swamp going into this year.
Right, but and that's a good point that they did finish the season really well.
Well, Titel, we're discussing a team that won 30 games last year in Kentucky and a team that won 20 games last year in Florida, a 10-game difference. Can Florida make that big of a jump this year?
They can. I mean, the freshman phenoms in the backcourt of Scotty Lewis and Trey Mann are legit. And I think that Blackshear is the X factor. I got to interview him in D.C. when he was in town for the Sweet 16 last March. Enormous guy, like 6'10 at least. And you can tell that, like, he's the son of – you never know. Like, I always like talking to people who were the sons of athletes just to see how – far the acorn fell from the tree kind of thing. You can tell his parents were athletic, like the genes definitely got passed down. That being said, I don't know if it's one thing to like dominate the ACC, not that he dominated the ACC, but he was very good. When he goes to battle against the SEC was an amazing conference last year. I talked about Big 12 being number one in KenPom. SEC is right there. So I think Florida can challenge, but it's one thing if they were challenging with five seniors, but when they have freshmen like Lewis and Mann, I don't know that those freshmen are better than Kentucky's freshmen.
David, we had a very interesting situation heading into the NCAA tournament last year with our regular season champions of the SEC down in LSU, who suddenly had their head coach suspended. But they are the defending SEC regular season champions. They won 16-2 last year. What about LSU and all this off the court nonsense that happened?
Well, is it behind them or not? I mean, do they have a notice of allegations coming or not? Will Wade, who I was kind of surprised. I mean, you and I had been fans of his, I think, since his days at Chattanooga, watching him build them up, watching him do really well at VCU. There's some coaches that you would expect to get into trouble. He didn't, I don't, at the very least, he wasn't at the top of our list of coaches that you'd think that would end up in that mess, but who knows? He was reinstated. He is back, and maybe it's not a distraction at all because it's behind him, or like you said, maybe it is. If you're asking me what I think, I really don't know, but if it isn't behind them, then yeah, it could potentially be a distraction because when you're living under that cloud of you never know when that's coming or if your coach is going to be there, I think that it's hard to focus. But he's a really good coach. He once again, I mean, they lost a lot, but they have a lot of pieces coming back, and I think that they could really potentially be good again.
Well, Rocco, is that the key for this LSU team, how much they can avoid the off-the-court stuff?
I think a little bit. I mean, I'm still torn on that question because I think some teams have shown – you know, we've now seen a lot of sample sizes after last year with all the distractions. Some teams are showing that they're better off just getting back on the court and focusing on basketball. And other teams, just it's too much to overcome, right? And it is a distraction. So I'm on the fence. I don't know what it means for LSU. But I do know that, you know, they've got some newcomers trying to blend in. Losing Tremont Waters is no you can't bat your eye at that. They lose their two big frontline guys, too, in Big Jelly, Nas Reed, and Cavell Bigby-Williams, who was a very experienced college player playing both at LSU and Oregon before that. So I just think this LSU team is going to take a step back because there's a lot of new parts to mix. Smart and May is very good players on top of the distractions. So, but by the way, I would be remiss if I didn't comment and say, how big is November 13th going to be in a few weeks when Will Wade goes back to VCU? how excited are those fans going to be to welcome him back?
That's a great game. I mean, it really is.
Well, Tytel, let me ask you this. Is LSU going to be the number three team in this conference, or are you looking somewhere else for number three?
I'm going to look to Auburn, and I know they lost a ton of guys. Jared Harper, Bryce Brown, Chuma Okeke, Malik Dunbar, Horace Spencer. These aren't just five guys whose names were on the roster. These are guys who each played 37-plus games last year. So you're taking a huge chunk of your regular rotation and sending them in the pros. That being said, this is a 31 team that lost by 1 point to the champs in the final four. Bruce Pearl, say what you will about him off the court, on the court, he gets his teams to win a lot of games. He does bring back a ton of seniors this year. Austin Wiley, Anthony McLemore, Daniel Purifoy, Samir Doty. Of course, my connection is assistant coach Ira Bowman, my former Penn class of 96 classmate. He had quite the offseason. In March, he was implicated in the Jerome Allen scandal in Quaker Country. In June, he was reinstated to the staff. So hopefully he can keep it clean and just focus on the basketball.
All right. Stalika, your thoughts. Did you agree with him about that Auburn might be the third best team despite what they lost?
I think Auburn is going to be one possible team that can contend for third, but I'm actually going to go towards the Magnolia State for my pick for third place, and that's going to be the Mississippi State Bulldogs. They're going to have a decent core coming back, but the only notable returning star that's not coming back is going to be Quindary Weatherspoon. His brother Nick is still going to be part of the roster.
Well, one second. Nick is suspended for the first 10 games of the season, though, but go ahead.
I don't think you have to worry about that too much because there's not going to be too many big names on Mississippi State's schedule outside of the Myrtle Beach Invitational. But by the same token, I think one of the Weatherspoons was also suspended towards the second half of last year for a while, but didn't seem to really affect them at that time either. They did get upset in the first round of the NCAA tournament by Liberty, but for the most part, they're still going to have an experienced roster going into this season.
Well, without either of the Weatherspoons for the first 10 games at least, but Rocco, Reggie Perry is back for this team.
Right, and Reggie Perry, another guy that was on that U19 team over the summer, got a lot of valuable experience there, played very well. I expect big things from him, but I also think, you know, he's going to have to carry quite a bit of the load in a different way than I think the offense is going to have to run through him. Let's just put it that way. And so if he gets in foul trouble, things of that nature, it's going to be a tough year and a tough league. I actually have Mississippi State all the way down at ninth and not going to the tournament. So we'll see how it plays out. I think there's just too many unknowns and a lot to replace with don't forget they also lost Ara Coleman, who was a borderline all-SEC guy himself. So I'm just a little bit down on them going into this year.
So who do you have as the next team up then?
I actually have their rivals, the Ole Miss Rebels. And
Kermit Davis, go ahead. Sell me on this one because I have them pretty darn low on my list, so go ahead.
This is where the show gets fun, right? So I just love the guards, Tyree and Shuler. I got to see Ole Miss play Florida last year in person, and I mean that Tyree kid is a tough player, and obviously a lot of experience. Now he's played with Kermit Davis for a year. Part of my fourth place prediction is pretty much all of it is about not just those guys coming back, but about Kermit Davis and what he can do with a program. I mean, the fact that he had Middle Tennessee in the top 50 of KenPom 4 different years, and now Ole Miss takes the big jump. Everybody picked them, I think, anywhere from 11th to 13th last year, and they ended up in the top 6, got to the tournament. Now I think it's time to take another step. And they got a big man, a key guy, Kadeem C, one of the top JUCO players. They finally got that big guy like they had at Middle Tennessee when they had Upshaw to run that kind of quintessential Kermit Davis offense. So I just compared to some of the other question marks in the league, I take them fourth.
Who wants to take a shot at this as Ole Miss being this high in the league? Tytel?
Do I have to? I mean, I think that will be okay. Brian Tyree could be the conference player of the year, although I still hate his cousin David for the helmet catch, so I'm not going to vote for him. You got Devontae Shuler, who had an AAU team with a couple of guys named Zion and Ja, so he he's used to playing with big time players. Gotta love Kermit Davis, defending conference coach of the year. That being said, with the influx of new coaches, so unlike the Big 12, which had every single coach return, this conference has four new coaches. So the fact that Kermit Davis is only in his second year might seem like he's young. Compared to that conference, he's like an old grizzled veteran.
Yeah.
David, what about another old grizzled veteran in this conference apparently now? What about Tennessee? What about Rick Barnes?
I really like this Tennessee team. I mean, I don't like them as much as I did a year ago where, you know, they reached number one in the polls. They had a really – they looked good in the NCAA tournament, albeit they went out in the Sweet 16. It was in a classic game. You know, unlike the football team, the basketball team has really looked good. Could they get a protected seed for the third year in a row under Rick Barnes? I think that they probably can. He's just done an outstanding job. They did lose a ton, but I mean, I'm just kind of reminded of it 2 years ago when nobody really expected them to do anything and they ended up on the three line. So I'm kind of in the spot to where I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Sleek, are you on Tennessee with David?
I would be on Tennessee if I were more familiar with the guys coming in, but I usually go with more experienced guys. But when you lose guys like Admiral Schofield and Grant Williams, that's a lot of production that they're going to have to replace. I have faith that Rick Barnes could probably get them, if not in the bubble, at least in the NIT for this year. But I just think there's going to be too much that they lose. And when you look at teams like Arkansas, maybe South Carolina to an extent, they're going to have a lot of players coming back, so that's going to be quite a bit to overcome.
Tytel, let me ask you this. Is there a team in this conference that you think is going to be there in the NCAA tournament at the end of the day that we have not yet discussed?
Have we discussed Tennessee yet?
We just hit Tennessee, yep.
It's hard to keep up with you.
I find your opinions on them, too.
Have we discussed Missouri yet?
No, we haven't. You want to hit the Missouri? You think they're
yes, we did at the top of the show. Don't you?
David, go away.
No, I walked into that one. I'll give David that one. The cupboard is a bit bare for Coach Quanzo Martin. He ran out of porters to play now that Jonte and Michael Jr. have left. Still has Michael Sr. on his staff, so that's helpful. I think they're a year away. They brought in a couple of nice transfers in Drew Smith from Evansville and Mark Smith from Illinois. If you can find a couple other Smiths to transfer in, he'll be okay. But very tough non-conference schedule. Xavier, Butler, Oklahoma, Stanford, Illinois, West Virginia. I don't think this team is making the conference, but I think in a year they're going to be solid middle of the pack.
Well, Rocco, we have a handful of new coaches in the SEC this year.
Good new coaches, really.
Good new coaches that may – do something like what Kermit Davis did last year, and you know, do something. Let's start with maybe we need to start with Alabama here and Nate Oates.
Yeah, Nate Oates. I mean, here's a guy that you know I've liked a lot, and I think a lot of us have liked a lot at Buffalo. Takes the leap, strangely down south to Alabama. I think everybody assumed he'd go somewhere in the Big Ten or somewhere up north, but he came down, and you know, it's a great opportunity with SEC football money taking over in basketball now. Can't blame him. And he's getting a really talented team that was built by Avery Johnson. I think you look at guys like Herbie Jones and John Petty and Galen Smith. Kira Lewis going to lead this team. It's not like he's got an empty cupboard to work with at all. So a couple pieces of bad news. They did have Juwan Gary and James Rojas go down with torn ACLs. But there is some strong suspicion that Javon Quinterly is going to get his waiver approved. So this does look like a tournament caliber roster. I'm gonna hedge my bets, but also give Oates the benefit of the doubt of being a good coach. And these guys have played together, a chunk of them at least. And I'll say they are a tournament team.
All right, they are a tournament team.
I agree.
David, what about Eric Musselman there in Arkansas?
A really good coach that has four starters back. I think that they're going to be improved. I don't know if I like them enough to get to the tournament, but I think that it's a home run hire. They might be another year or two away. But again, if you value experience, four starters are back, and they were 8-10 in the league last year. It wasn't like they were 2-16. They did manage to win at least a few games.
They won a few games. Tytel, What do you think on those two new hires, or our other two? We got Buzz Williams at A&M, and we got Jerry Stackhouse at Vanderbilt.
In terms of who's going to have like the most success, or the
let's just look what we're looking at for this year.
I think I will go with. I don't know that it's far and away. I will flip a coin and go with Coach Oates, two-time defending conference coach of the year. He's got bringing in James Bolden. He brings back a huge junior class, so they might also be a year away. They open up with a very tough Penn Quaker team, so I'm not sure if they can get it going. Then they follow up with North Carolina and then the Midwestern swing of Michigan, Iowa State, Penn State, Kansas State. So very tough non-conference schedule, but I'll go with Coach Oates.
Stalika, I got to give you a chance here. I know you're such a fan of Frank Martin. How about the Gamecocks this year? What do you see out of Angry Frank's team?
I see a team that was kind of, up and down last year. You look at their non-conference, they were losing to teams like Stony Brook, Wofford, Wyoming on the road, which is why a team that actually went 11-7 in the SEC and started hot ended up going to the NIT instead. They're going to lose Chris Silva, but they're still going to have A.J. Lawson, Justin Manaya, and Malik Kotsar coming back. But we look at their non-conference schedule this year. They're going to be in the Cancun Challenge. It's going to include Wichita State and either West Virginia or Northern Iowa. But you look at some of their other notable games, they'll have their rivalry game at Clemson. They'll be going back to Virginia. And this year, they're not going to be part of the SEC Big 12 Challenge, but instead they'll get to play Houston out of the American.
David, we mentioned him briefly. Buzz Williams coming over to A&M. Any chance he makes any noise at all in his first year?
In his first year? None.
Okay, none. Is there anything worth watching Texas A&M basketball this year?
I mean, we remember his first year at Virginia Tech. It was awful. Great coach. I mean, you can be the best coach in the world. When you're in a tough league like this with players like what he's got, you're just not going to win. I think he'll get it going maybe in his second and third year, but not this year.
Rocco, one team we have not yet mentioned. Another, I guess we call him a veteran SEC coach now, Tom Crean over at Georgia. Anything you see out of this Georgia team this year?
Well, Georgia, of course, brings in Anthony Edwards, who could be the national freshman of the year. We'll see. I think a lot of people go with Cole Anthony a little bit over him. But this kid's a total playmaker. But I also think, you know, you bring in Christian Brown, another heralded recruit. They're both going to start to go along with a veteran like Hammonds. There's some upside there. They just got to figure out how to mesh, you know, these young guys with the guys that have been there. I don't know. I feel, you know, I've been reading a lot about Edwards himself and watched a little bit of his highlight reel. I think he likes to just kind of do his own thing, and it takes a lot of ill-advised shots. And if he's doing that in the SEC, it's not a winning formula. So I'm going to err on the side of caution and keep Georgia out of the tournament, knowing that they do have the experience and talent. If Crean can do a good job getting those guys to play together early, they've got a shot.
Well, one other question here, Mr. Tytel, the fourth new head coach we have is over at Vanderbilt, who failed to win a game in the SEC all of last season. Is there any chance that Vanderbilt wins a game this season?
Doubtful.
No, doubtful that they win one game. That is awesome. I concur.
They're going to win plenty of non-conference games because their non-conference schedule sucks, to be perfectly honest. But they have a transfer in DJ Harvey. He missed half of last season due to microfracture left knee surgery, so I'm not sure how much I can count on him. Stackhouse was a great player in college and in the pros. And in high school and the whole thing. The cupboard is kind of bare. Coach Drew had two McDonald's All-Americans last year, and now they have zero because those guys both left. I think that they will win a game, but it is debatable, which is a frightening thought.
I guess on that note, I want to run through each of you and ask the question that we ask each of these shows is, how many teams does the SEC get in into the field. And at the same time, if you have any other final thoughts about this league. And Sleek, let me start off with you.
I think we're going to see a numbers game similar to last year. I don't think we're going to have quite the high number of bids, but this year I think it's going to be six teams that end up getting in. So we're looking at Kentucky and Florida as surefire teams. I'm going to take Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and LSU to get in. And Arkansas is going to be the sixth team, I think, that ends up sneaking into the field with their returning core and Eric Musselman being able to take over.
I'm not certain that I'd agree with you not having Auburn in there. And I'm kind of going five teams. I'm going a little bit lower on this league. I think that there's some garbage, some serious garbage down at the bottom that's going to keep some of the power numbers of this conference down from where they need to be to carry enough teams in. I'm going to go five myself. Tytel, what do you think?
I think five is a good pick. I might set the over-under at 5.5 just to see if we can get some analysts to go with the sixth team. And, if Arkansas can get hot, it's possible, but I think five is good. As far as a final thought, I want to follow up on Rocco's high praise of Anthony Edwards at Georgia. He is projected as the first overall pick next June. He just had a starring role in their exhibition win last week, 18.6 boards, 3 steals. This kid has been an athlete his whole life. At age 10, he was one of the best in the country as a Pop Warner running back. And this is not something where, he grew up in the state and he was a hidden gem and Georgia just happened to get him. He got offers from Florida State, Kentucky, Kansas, North Carolina. He is a blue of the bluest of the blue chip recruits. He chose Georgia. I think he's one and done. He shoots a little too much. He doesn't do everything else so much. He's 6'5", 225. He's not a little stick who's like an 18-year-old kid who's going to get knocked over in the lane. He will score. He will finish. He will dunk. He will shoot threes. I think he's going to be the best freshman in the country.
Great. Rocco, what do you think?
Yeah, so I'm a little bit higher than you guys. Last year, this league got seven teams in, and I see seven again this year. I see Kentucky, Florida, Auburn, Ole Miss, LSU, Alabama, Tennessee. Obviously, with teams like LSU, Alabama, and Tennessee, there could be a downfall, but I do think Missouri is pretty close to being in. I'm glad that Tytel brought him up pretty early in the show. They were picked 13th at the media day. So I'd watch out for Missouri as a sleeper team. A couple other notes on the league. Last year, Auburn and Kentucky played each other in the Elite Eight. Auburn, of course, got to the Final Four. I could see a similar result this year between Kentucky and Florida. I don't think the other five teams that I see getting in are Final Four caliber. But who knows? Anything could happen when you get hot in March. And a scheduling alliance is now in place for the four teams that don't get invited to the Big 12 SEC showdown or challenge, I should say. So they'll be playing AAC teams this year, and there's some pretty juicy matchups. I think Wichita State's involved and SMU and some others. So nice job by the league to figure out what to do with the other four teams instead of having play each other.
David.
I did not know that.
David, did you want to finish off the show, or do you just want to talk about what you don't know? Either way, it's good by me.
But. Well, I know a lot of things, but anyway, I'm actually going with 6.5. I really like this league. I'm not saying that there isn't some garbage, and apparently we're going to be seeing it playing some AAC teams later in the year. But, I think Alabama has a potential to be a bit of a dark horse and end up a little bit better than what people are thinking. And I like Mississippi State a lot too, to go along with Auburn, LSU, Florida, and Kentucky. And I could see maybe one more team getting in. So I think it's going to be six.
Let me go ahead and expand on Rocco's thought right here as far as the SEC and American matchups. Ole Miss is actually going to be going to Wichita State. Houston is going to be going to South Carolina. I think my favorite matchup is going to be Georgia at Memphis in January. And for the pillow fight, Vandy hosting SMU.
Those
are actually a better match. Well, until the last one, those are actually some pretty good games. I retract my statement.
Well, I guess on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. This has been our SEC preview show. We've got tons of other previews that you can go up to the top there and click the links and check out all of our podcasts. We've got more we're going to be recording next week. But on behalf of John Salica, John Tytel, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, David Griggs from wherever the hell he's from. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again real soon.